kids. Right, let's get started again. I hope everyone's had a good breakout session. So we're going to go through the same way as we went through last time. We'll take all of the feedback, and I hope we'll have some time for some observations and some questions. So, Gary, would you like to start off, please?
I will. And this will be a challenge to summarize, and, which is probably code for there's disagreements with some of the people in the room. But on EBITDA, it questions about how widely is it used and how useful is it, and so on. I would say it's recognized it's widely used, but not EBITDA simply defined, but adjusted EBITDA. There was difference of opinions in the room about how useful it is. It general agreement EBIT is very good. EBITDA is generally, it means adjusted EBITDA. Adjusted can be whatever the author, you know, or the reporting entity chooses it to be, or the analyst chooses it to be. Discussion was, is EBITDA misguided, dysfunctional, and dangerous? And, if you're using it as a proxy for operating cash flow, but it has the advantage that it's a lot easier to compute than operating cash flow from scratch. Nonetheless, was general agreement as a credit metric, it is a very good tool. Is an equity method tool or equity analyst tool. Dangerous was one of the words, but limited. There was also commentary in there that EBITDA has become less relevant today given IFRS 15 and 16 with lots of interest that was an operational expense yesterday. And it might overstate how well you're positioned vis-a-vis your leverage. And I reminded the room, in fact, is interest on operating leases being capitalized as operating expense or an interest expense, unless it is an interest, and so on. So a caution, or whatever, where we go forward, that just be mindful that the sense was it's under IFRS 15 and 16, it's probably less relevant than it used to be. I don't think there was much sense or sentiment. There was some, but little, about having it on the face of the P&L, assuming you can even apply it. Probably nonetheless, if it's going to be disclosed in the footnotes as a management performance measure, we will need to define it. At least if that's not the end point, it becomes the beginning gap point, if you will. And adjustments can be made after that down to adjusted EBITDA, which would become a management performance measure. We really didn't spend a lot of time, should we require it, or just go, if it is a management performance measure, follow kind of where our thinking is right now. You disclose it if you choose to, but if you choose to disclose it, we should probably try to define EBITDA. And I expressed the view it would be probably plain vanilla EBIT plus gap depreciation added back, then do adjustments from there. But since where we stand right now, EBIT would become a line item to face the P&L, that would probably be the most relevant reconciling item to reconcile it back to in there. And since is having a well-defined good starting point is a good thing to do for EBITDA, even if it's only being the notes, and that we can bring the due process, transparency, and discipline into helping on that. So that was probably 60 minutes for our discussion, no more than 10 or 15 on the infrequent non-recurring. The sense was don't spend too much time trying to define frequent, infrequent, non-recurring, recurring. It's more important to perhaps have an accounting policy for how a company chooses to define them. And the accounting policy, of course, would have to have all of our attributes of qualitative statements, qualitative characteristics, ability to be consistently applied, verifiable, and all those sorts of things that you see in the qualitative characteristics of the conceptual framework. What's more important is for the items that management wants to single out, for analysis purposes, is just make sure you're transparent on that as to what it is, why it's singled out. And that's about as far as we got on that.
Okay.
And I'll defer to my colleagues to build or hopefully not disagree too much.
Perfect summing up, sounds like, seems to me.
Mm-hmm. So,
great. Thanks. Tack.
Thank you. We had a very exciting debate. I would like to share it with you. First of all, most users use EBITDA for their analysis, but not as it is. They have their own adjustment. And then we discussed why users use it, because they want to know the adjustment to get the cash flow, to get rid of the data of amortization and depreciation. And one investor talked about the history of EBITDA. Originally, there was a cash account. They are happy with it. But the accounting standard created depreciation and amortization. And then investors are not happy with it. So then, investors destandardized from the accounting standard, get rid of the depreciation and amortization. So he strongly disagreed with ISB to standardize EBITDA, because EBITDA was destandardized things done by the analyst. Then if the ISB make it as a standard, then analysts have to destandardize it again. So it's an interesting articulation. And then, however, some of the investors have a sympathy to standardizing EBITDA, because it could be a kind of comparable platform. Even if analysts will destandardize anyway, but if ISB provide, you know, some platform, that would be a help. And this analyst said the other thing. This analyst thought that the EBITDA, which was made by the management, and the EBITDA made by the analyst is maybe different, because adjustment is different. But compare these two views, the view of management and the view of analyst, to compare it, could create some value. So therefore, he agreed ISB to standardize EBITDA. So then we had a huge debate, but in the end we decided to vote. And then as a result, 3-4 against standardized EBITDA. That's the outcome of our group. And with respect to recurring and the non-recurring, some preparers said it's a super ambitious plan to define recurring or non-recurring, because every single people has a different view. So even if you have some definition, it doesn't really cover recurring or non-recurring things. And through the eyes of management, it is really important, of course. But for the users, they don't really think it's very, very much useful. And we talked about the APM issue. So APM is all around the world. So APM is through the view of management eyes. But the question is discipline about APM. And introducing MPM and defined recurring and non-recurring could introduce some discipline or audit situation, and that would make the quality of information better. However, preparer pointed out a very interesting point. It's fine to do that, but once it was defined in the standard, then preparer must run the risk of litigation. So once it is defined in the accounting standard, so in the situation like U.S., there is a legal environment is severe, then if it is defined and it will create a risk for the preparer side. And of course, there is a risk, but the investor said having a good reconciliation to the to their recurring item, to the IFRS required line item, would provide better information. So we didn't vote, but this debate may continue.
Okay. Thank you, Tak. So in group three on EBITDA, we had some very strong but also mixed opinions on what the board should do in terms of defining it or not. There was a view that we shouldn't be promoting EBITDA as a valuation measure, that there are better measures available. EBIT and free cash flow were both mentioned. Equally, others said that this is part of the analyst toolkit, and that's the reality, and we shouldn't be second-guessing the bits of the toolkit any particular analyst would like to use. We did recognise that there is diversity in practice, and that may lead you down to an argument that there is some merit in defining it, at least providing a solid anchor to the number. And furthermore, there was a sense that if we have defined EBIT, we should probably then define EBITDA. I think there was some comfort that, and clearly the board hasn't deliberated this, but there was some comfort if this number was not required or mandatory but could be defined. There was some more comfort around that. But equally, we had a view also that in a world where we're all competing for resources, as we do within this business, that perhaps it's not the top priority. So I'm not sure we really came to a consensus here, but there were strong views around it. And then on the issue in terms of unusual or non-recurring, I think perhaps just the first thing briefly to flag, we obviously got into the territories of management performance measures, and I think there was very strong support throughout our group in terms of the endeavours to provide good reconciliations for management performance measures. There was a sense from the users in our group that actually disclosing separately unusual items was important, and it should be a requirement on companies to disclose unusual items, but whether or not they include them in their management performance measure. But also recognitions that there are many companies who act in a responsible fashion and do that already as part of best practice. Not all, but many do that. We then got into a discussion in terms of is unusual items or non-recurring items the right words in terms of describing this. We had words described like lumpy or discretionary or items affecting comparability. I'm not sure we could agree on any of that either. I think what we did agree on that it would be a foolhardy route to go down to try and define what fitted into these categories, that this is a path that wouldn't be very fruitful for the board, with the exception of perhaps requiring some attention around what has become quite pervasive, and that's the use of restructuring, and a sense that perhaps the board should turn its attention to that item specifically. So that's, I think, if anyone disagrees, I think that's a summary of what we discussed. Thank you. And I'll pass over to Marcin.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, first on EBITDA. Is it a useful measure? And I think all agreed it is a useful measure. It's more useful than EBIT in many circumstances. And investors using that for a proxy for operating cash flows, but also in many cases as a starting point for their forecast. And therefore, I think the agreement was, yes, it is very useful. And we had analysts for financial institutions, but also a preparer from bank, clearly for banks not. That was also agreement. And then diversity in practice, yes, there is a lot of adjustments because many people using it for different purposes, and therefore the consequence is, okay, there are different adjustments done. Is it misleading? No, because I think users said, okay, it is known, okay, that there are various kind of different adjustments are done, so what is not misleading. And then the question, should it be defined by the board? There was, I think, different views. some said, okay, the ISP has already done the difficult part, which is to come up to define EBIT, and why not then doing the not so difficult part, going further down to EBITDA. So it is long, low-hanging fruit, and we should do that. And because also, as I said, okay, it is used more often than EBIT, and why not doing that? And we are aware, okay, that, okay, then EBITDA, if we define it, it is not, so I think then companies not doing adjustments, but it is a good starting point and could be then used as a reconciliation of, and to the different adjustments companies are doing with that. So that was on EBITDA. Then question on infrequent non-recurring. I think that it was a difficult discussion, or more difficult. But we finally agreed, okay, that we think we need a separate approach because this information is useful for investors and for users. And they all said, okay, they need this kind of information, and it is not only if companies using that in their management performance measure. That is also interesting if they don't using that. Therefore, I think this build on the PFS proposals is not sufficient, so we need a separate approach. Should it be defined by the board or defined by the entity? I think finally we agreed it could not be defined by the board, it should be defined by the entity, but the board should give some guidance what we're expecting from this kind of disclosure. And it is, if it is infrequent, non-core, it maybe is kind of items which are more volatile than the rest and not belonging to the core business, or we should give as a board some guidance what kind of items we are looking for and should be disclosed by entities. And many entities currently already doing that kind of information, but it would be good if we come up with a kind of more principle-based, not definition, but guidance, what kind of information should be proposed but not defined by the board. And location clearly is in a separate note, because I think it is key for analysts, for investors to have that in a separate place. Then 1 minute after earnings are announced, that they can see all this kind of items, which then helping them to forecasting future earnings. Anything to add? No. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. So, any questions following that feedback or other observations that anyone would like to make? No? Okay, last chance. Kind of jumped over goats or summing some of that up for us. I know it's quite a challenge.
I'll just try to, I'll probably repeat things that have been said, but some things that I've heard across the group. So on EBITDA, definitely everyone recognizes it's widely used. On the usefulness of the measure, there are mixed views. Some users do appreciate EBITDA, others clearly warn and against using it and have concerns. On diversity, we didn't get that much feedback. We've heard some people saying there's some diversity, perhaps there's merit in defining EBITDA because of that. People have also said, so you've already defined EBIT, why just it's low-hanging fruit to go a step further and define EBITDA as well. But it probably shouldn't be required. And then on unusual or infrequently occurring items, I've heard some support for us to sort of see it as a separate approach in addition to our management performance proposals. Definitely it's going to be very hard to define if we want to define unusual or infrequently occurring items. Perhaps focusing on good accounting policies developed by the entities themselves is more important. The board should perhaps can provide some type of helpful guidance. If it's not a definition, but some kind of guidance, what sort of items we are looking for entities to disclose. Formatting and location, I think we've had one comment on it being in a separate note, that would be helpful.
Good summary. Thank you very much. So thanks.